Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Now, I was looking at Facebook the other day, not a sponsor, though Facebook, if you are listening, I'll take your money and I'm okay with that. But I saw a couple of people from my days at Sheridan, our class, who posted that they met 30 years ago this week, which is insane. And my guest today was also part of that class with myself and a bunch of other people that are fantastic people. She's an actor, she's a singer, a dancer, as well as a personal trainer with her company, TremFit, based in New York City. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show, Kara Tremble. Kara, hello!
Hey, I'm so happy to be here and to see you after literally 30 years.
Yeah.
The last day of school, whatever that was, in the 90s. Yeah. The '90s, which don't feel like that long ago, but they're a long time ago. So there you go.
It's insane. This is going to be a weird interview for me because usually I don't know the people. Right. So it's, you know, I'm this time there's shared experiences in life and the past. And then sorry, listeners, if it goes off on tangents, so be it. You'll listen and learn.
You might have.
So before we get into everything, I always want to get a 30-second bio. So who are you in 30 seconds?
Oh, my God. Wait, put me on the spot. I am me. I'm Kara. I have had a very colorful, wonderful, emotional, sometimes dramatic, now a little more stable and balanced life. And I've done a lot. I've acted, I sing, I dance. I've changed my career in my 40s. I started a company. It's been running for 5 years now. I started another company with my dough. So I have like a therapy dough that I'm doing. So I've totally changed everything about what I thought I was going to do for my whole life. And it's made me incredibly happy, and I wouldn't take away my past for my present, and it's made me who I am today, and that's me in 30-second nutshell, I think.
It's close enough. Yeah. Well, were you always into musical theater growing up, or is that something you discovered a little bit
later? Totally. No, originally I was dancing. That was my starter. And then I got into Annie, the musical. The movie came out. So that was like in the 80s. And I became completely obsessed. I had everything Annie. And I think that was kind of my first intro into song and dance. And then I saw Cats, the musical, and I think it was 1988. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. This is where I want to go. And that kind of just started the train. And I grew up in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, right? Middle of Canada, and a prairie girl. And I was wondering how to do that. You know, like, how do I get to New York City? So I wanted to do it, and then I found out about Sheridan, and like that kind of was my, you know, started my journey.
I'm always curious because Saskatchewan's not that close to Sheridan, obviously. How did you find out about Sheridan? Because I'm just outside of Toronto, so that's easy for me to find out all about the colleges and universities here. But how did you find out about it?
Steve Patterson. Do you remember Steve? So Steve and I grew up together. He's from Moose Jaw, also Paris Allen. And my parents were really good friends with Steve's parents. And Steve was 2 years older than me. I think he was like third year when I was in first year. And basically, I think they had a meeting. Like our parents had a meeting and my mom was like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get you to, you go in, you audition, we'll fly down, we'll do all that. And then, you know, and I remember being too young. Like they almost didn't take me. I remember them saying, cause I think I'm a December baby. So I'm a cutoff and I started in, I started kindergarten at 4 years old. So I think I was turning 18 and they thought I was too young to leave home and move that far and go to college. And I begged them to, I was like, I'm going to be fine. And then I remember that Christmas, like breaking down, remember our first year? And then I was like breaking down and I called my mom and dad, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to come home. My mom's like, you're going to stay. So thank you, Mom, for making me stay.
Do you remember your audition? Do you remember what you said?
Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I definitely sang Part of Your World, Little Mermaid, which isn't even a musical, that's like a cartoon song, right?
Not at that point, yeah.
At that point. And then I'd never done a monologue except for in high school, but it wasn't a monologue. It was a one woman show. So it was like a 4-page long monologue. That's what I did. And I remember maybe Patrick Young or Christina Jane, like, and they were just like, whoa, okay, stop. This is not what a monologue is. And I was like, that's why I'm here. You know, that's what I was, you know, that's why I need to come to this school, because I didn't know those things. Or like putting a workbook together, you know, like having, I mean, that's what the school is for, to teach you how to audition. So sure. I obviously needed some help in that category. But
when you got to the dance part, it was probably like,
that was easy. That was fine.
The complete opposite for me. I got in there and went, okay, let's
Most see. People, yeah. I feel like our year, that was kind of the way it was, right? The dancing was a little more challenging. And for me, it was the other way around.
Yeah, we didn't spend a lot of dance classes together, obviously, because I was in the level 3. I was at the very bottom.
That's okay. You're a good mover.
That's all you need. You fake it.
You need to be able to move.
So what do you remember getting out of Sheridan? Because it's so different now from what I understand with the way it is. How was it for you, your experience there?
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. And what is, I loved it. It really did give me, it provided me with the tools I needed to continue on and be successful. And like, it kind of gave me that outline, right? Of how to audition exactly, you know, what I needed as when I went in. Mm-hmm. I also remember having a conversation later in life when I did Jersey Boys with Michael Lamenda, who also went to Sheridan. And I think he was like a few years behind me.
Okay.
And one night we were out and we were having a conversation about Sheridan. And I said, you know, the stuff that I remember thinking was so silly is the stuff that was really actually important. And that was delivery. Remember delivery class?
Oh, yeah.
Act pacing, like all the Rod Maxwell stuff.
Yeah.
That literally to me, learning how to walk and talk, right, with a mic, or like just learning how to not, for myself, especially because I was a dancer, I remember him yelling at me because I was like walking on the beat while I was talking because I was a dancer, right? So that's what I would do. And so having to take that element out and really learn how to flow your conversation while doing choreography, you don't think about that stuff as being a challenge, but it is. And to make it look natural, right?
Yes.
So that was, to me, one of the greatest gifts is learning that and learning to deliver and how to deliver. Like, remember the tension in the body?
Levels of tension.
And then your internal and your external, looking at, like, in towards yourself and then sharing it with the audience. Those things are super important. And if you can really break that down and make it natural and make it flow, I believe that makes you a really good performer. And that's what I took from, I mean, I loved, who knew?
I know.
when I went out into the real world, that was probably the greatest gift I had.
And that's a good point for anybody who's going into college now. You may think that the professors are nuts for what they're doing. It doesn't make sense, but you're still learning. And as you just mentioned, you look back and go, yes, that did make sense. So if you're listening and you're going to college, suck up all the information they're giving you because there's a purpose to it. Do you still remember any of the poems?
Okay. Wait. Hog butcher of the world. Tool maker, stacker of wheat, player with railroads, and the nation's freight handler. Wasn't that one? That was definitely one.
Yes. So listeners, we had to learn these poems and deliver them in a specific sort of way.
Welcome to my parlor.
That's the one I remember.
To the front.
So the prettiest little, whatever it is, but I'm trying to block it out now.
Telling people about how Rod would like beat on the thing, and you would have a skipping rope with a piece of wood as a microphone. And I mean, it seemed like so, you know, it was like algebra to me. I was like, why do I need this in real life? And then I really, really used that in real life, you know?
Oh, man. It was an interesting 3 years.
I honestly, there are so many, not just that stuff, but like clown class and mask and, you know, our, what was like crying 101 and like all of those classes gave me tools into the future. You don't know it when you're learning it. You don't, but then you pull back and access that when you need, you know, you get it when you need it.
Yeah, for sure. Find it. So you finished your 3 years at Sheridan, you graduated. What did you do next?
I got Beauty and the Beast. So I was very lucky and fortunate and grateful in my third year to get Beauty and the Beast, when the original Disney show, when it started. So that was kind of my first big gig, you know, my equity card. And it was,
Was it in Toronto or was it New York or where was it?
It was in Toronto. Okay. I did it in Toronto. I did it in Stuttgart in German. I played Belle entirely in German. Songs and the script I had to learn phonetically. And then I also did the US tour, the national tour in like 2000. I think that was in 2000. Yeah.
So what's theater like in Germany? Because I've talked to people. I've talked to people in Korea, in Finland. And it is slightly different. The audiences and the way things are done. What was it like in Germany?
Well, when I went, it was the greatest. I went over with Grease, the musical Grease. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting the show and Bruce Dean, who was my agent at the time, was like, you just go over. You're going to pack up your stuff and go. You're going to fly in. You're going to meet so-and-so at the theater and you'll start rehearsals. The songs were in English, which was nice. And then the script was German. Mm-hmm. And I remember being that young, I just like sold my everything in my apartment. I remember like having people come in and just take by my couch and like walk out with my couch and like just packed up two suitcases and off I went. And I arrived in Dusseldorf and the hotel said, tomorrow morning, you're going to get up and you're going to walk down the street and you're going to turn right. And then you're going to go under this bridge and then you'll come to the theater. And I got up in the morning and I walked down the street. I walked under the bridge and there was like, it was very scary. There was a lot of baby drug addicts and needles and things. And I was like, I don't know what I signed up for. What is this show? Like, I was a little bit like, is this going to be, I don't know what this is going to be. And I like come out from the other side of the bridge. I look up and there's this giant pink building and Grease, Das Musical, and like, you know, lights. And it was beautiful. And it was just like this happy little painting from the sad little walk I had. And I just exhaled and I was like, okay, here we go. And then that was one of the greatest times of my life, doing Grease in Dusseldorf. We had a blast. I played 100 different characters. I was Sandy, I was Frenchie, and then I covered like all the girls, and they constantly change cast. Oh, wow. So it's not like in here where you're an understudy and you only go on if you know the principal is out, and then a swing covers your track as the ensemble. It was like constant change because they don't have that. You got 6 weeks vacation and people would call out all the time. It was just, they didn't have a strong union. And so it was so fun. So you're always a different character playing with different characters. So you're always on your toes and your character's always changing. And it was just, it was really well done. It was really fun. And the audiences freaked out. So they would like pile up at the stage door. We all had these like autogram cards where it was just like your headshot that they would blow up, and like you could get them at the theater, and like we'd have fans and they would come and they'd want them signed. And I mean, it was like being a rock star. It was like being a rock star. It was crazy. It was so great. And then I ended up staying I did the Beauty and the Beast. So I'd already done it in Toronto, and then I auditioned for it in Stuttgart because I was already in Germany. And then I went and moved to Stuttgart, and that's when I, you know, learned that I was going to be doing the whole show in German. And that was a little more challenging. And then, yeah, I did the national tour, and then I moved back to Europe and continued on for like 4 more years. I was there from 98 to about, I think, 2005. On and off. Like, I'd come back
I always heard that. Yeah, I knew you went off to Germany, but that's all I'd heard. you hear about people and what they're doing. So it's very cool that I'm learning what actually happened. Because I read you went to like different. You went to the Far East as well. You went to Vietnam or something like that.
I went to Korea with Jersey Boys. I did that. We went to Malaysia. Wow. The shows I did in Germany, I did like we did Austria, we did Switzerland, because I was there. I did another couple of shows. I did Saturday Night Fever and I did Miami Nights.
In German, all those?
All of those in German, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was a great time. It was a really fun, good time. I miss Europe, actually. It was very different, right? And I was ready to move back, but now that I've been back for a while, I'm like, okay, I could go back for a little while to Europe. Good. But no, it was a good time. It's different now. They didn't have a lot of schools to teach, you know, the youth musical theater. And musical theater is huge in Europe, especially in Germany. And so during that period, it was a ton of foreigners. It was like British, Swedish, English, like, or Canadian, American, like everybody was coming from all over the place. It was such a melting pot for a bunch of us. And then as we stayed longer and longer, they started to build schools and train Germans. And now most of the musicals are built purely with German speaking, German people. Which is great, right? So it became like a movement for them. It was awesome. Yeah.
I heard that about Finland as well. And Korea is the same there. Like about 20 years ago, they kind of started doing it. And it's just weird how, you know, here in Canada and New York and London, doing it forever. But they're just kind of finding musical theater.
Well, now they love it. I've never seen anything like it when we did Grease. And I think that was it. Like you could just see that there was a need for it. Right. And they started to build it up, and now it's a hugely successful business for them. So it's great.
Very cool. So what got you back into New York and Jersey Boys?
I got married when I was in Europe. And he's awesome. We're still really good friends, but we ended up divorcing. And then that was probably my main reason for coming back. I was like, well, there's not much left for me to do here. So I'll go home. So I came home, and that was scary because I was starting again, right? Back like fresh, you know, it'd been a long time. I'd been away. And I think my first, I did a like some kind of a workshop. Evangeline, Have you heard? Oh, I'm sure you've heard of Evangeline.
Yeah.
So I did that workshop, which was fun. And that was kind of like, you know, beginning to step back into auditioning in North America. And then I auditioned. This is crazy. Oh, I started teaching dancing for a friend at her studio. And then I got a job teaching at Etobicoke School of the Arts.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was kind of starting to audition again. And then I was like getting my hand in teaching, and I was still doing a lot of theater stuff. And Lizzie helped me get that job. Remember Lizzie?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Lizzie. She helped me. And that was a really good time in my life. But then I auditioned for Dirty Dancing. And I wanted this show so badly. And I was like, I want to be Baby. This is my part. And I think I was at like my third call before seeing the writer. And she always got to pick who she wanted for that role. So it was, you had to kind of be vetted, and then they would send you in. And then on my way back from one of those callbacks, Bruce Dean, called my agent at the time, called and said, hey, they're auditioning for Jersey Boys at such and such. Can you just stop in and do the audition? And I was like, well, what is that show? Yeah. Like, I really didn't even, I was like, there's Jersey Boys. Is it a show about boys? Like, is there even girls in the show? And he's like, no, there's three like Vegas dancer-y type women. And I was like, well, I don't really want to, I want to do Dirty Dancing. He's like, just go to the audition and see what happens. And so I go in and I auditioned. We did the dance audition. And then they asked me to, I remember them giving me a stack of sides. It was like a thick stack. And they're like, can you come back maybe tomorrow or the next day? I can't remember, with all of these. And it was, there's three girls in the show, and each girl plays about like over 10 characters. So they wanted me to do all of them, right? So read each of these different characters, different types, different voices, different accents, like all of that stuff. And so I did, and I came back. And I ended up getting a call back in New York. Wow. So they flew me to New York, and Danny Austin, who ended up becoming like one of my great mentors, was like, let me help you before you go to New York. And so we sat, he's the associate choreographer for all of the Jersey, at the time, for all of the Jersey Boys. I think he's still part of it, but when they were all up and running. And so he sat with me and just like worked through the characters and just kind of gave me some insight. And then I went to New York and I did the big audition, and that was the scariest moment of my life. I mean, it was like Bob Gaudio, Frankie Valli, Ellis, all the writers. There was like 15 people in the room. And I felt, you know, when you just like, I hadn't auditioned in so long like that, that I was like dying inside. And I was like, just help me get through this. Just help me get through this. And then I got out, I felt good. I got on the plane, and by the time I got home to back to Toronto from New York, I got the job. And I still wanted to wait for Dirty Dancing. And Bruce was like, no. He's like, no, you're next. Cause it was like literally, next week, you're moving to New York. It was a very quick, like, I didn't have any time. And he goes, you got to say yes to this job, is basically the greatest advice he ever gave me. Thank you, Bruce. And that was that, you know? So I went in, because as we know, Jersey Boys was hugely successful. Dirty Dancing, not so much. So it was a good plan on him. So thanks, Bruce.
So this was this the original cast?
No, this was the second. It was the Chicago, the original Chicago company.
Okay.
But we did, so they had already got Broadway obviously up. Then they had the first national tour, which was in San Francisco. And it was so hugely successful in San Francisco that they kept pushing the date, and they finally said, we have to get them out on tour, because they had tour dates to go on. So what they did with us was start it. That's why ours was so quick, because they wanted us to go to San Francisco for like 6 months before we went to Chicago and opened in Chicago. And then we did all that. And then at the end of Chicago, I left and went on the national tour. I joined the national tour. So I did Chicago for a while. I did national tour. I did Broadway. I did Vegas. I did the second national tour. I did the Korea and I did Malaysia. And that was 10 years of my life, 2007 to 2017. I closed the show on Broadway. Greatest years of my life. I mean, it was amazing.
What's it like to?
And rough and hard.
10 years of almost travel all the time.
Like, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons why I stepped back from the business. You know, like, it's exhausting. Yes. And I missed out. I missed out on life. I missed out on birthdays and my grandparents' anniversaries and Christmas and family time and weekends. I remember when I called my dad. It was like, we just closed Broadway. And my guy and I went out to see his friend play in a band on a Saturday afternoon. And it was an outdoor event. And there was dogs and people drinking beers and live music. And I called my dad and he's like, how's it going? What are you doing? And I was like, Dad, this is amazing. I'm out. And there's like, and he's like, you haven't had a weekend off since you were 16 years old.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, holy shit, Dad, you're right. I haven't. I had never thought about it. Mondays off, right? That's it. We only had one day off. You did 8 shows a week, 2 weeks of vacation. That's a lot. That's a lot of working. And it's dancing and you're in heels and you're, you know, keeping your weight down and looking, you know, you got to stay the same. You can't change in 10 years. You have to be the same as you signed that contract, right? So, I mean, it's like, it's, nobody knows that stuff. They know, like, right, they're coming to see the show and this is so fun and how fun for you. But like the work behind the doors is probably what made me go, I'm going to just settle down for a minute and switch things up.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see what's behind the smiles, right? What's happening.
No, exactly.
It's unfortunate. Well, let me ask, that first time you stepped on the Broadway stage in Jersey Boys, how did you feel? Because you were talking about being in Moose Jaw and you wanted to get to Broadway and now you're there.
It was amazing. I mean, I will say I had a day that day because my mom flew in and surprised me. And then we went out, and there was like, you know, it was just, you can't put into words fulfilling a dream like that. There's no describing it. Mm-hmm. And I was with a lot of my friends because most of us had like transferred onto Broadway. Like it was just a really, and I was in my 40s. And that to me, I was just like, I had thought maybe 5 months earlier that I was done. And then they called and I was like, my life is changing. I'm going to hit this goal and this dream and I'm in my 40s and I never thought that would happen. And that was a big deal to be a woman of a certain age and getting to fulfill that moment in my life. So it was nice. And I had so many, like my high school teachers and my choir teacher flew from Moose Jaw to see me. I mean, there was just my old people that I danced with in Calgary and did theater works with in Calgary. And like, just, so I got to see, it was just a very supportive, loving, amazing, emotional time. Yeah, it was good.
Congratulations on everything you've done, you know.
Thanks, John Paul.
With the tours and being on the Broadway and everything, and then you said you changed into
a
new role. What was that moment when you kind of took a step back and then wanted to create TremFit? What was that transition?
So it's interesting because remember I said to you there was a time I thought that dream was over. I wasn't going to hit Broadway. Mm-hmm. I had always, so no matter what show, what I was doing, I was always working out. That was a key to me. Like fitness wise, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd get my workout, I'd go for my run, I'd go to the gym, I'd go to the treadmill in the hotel, whatever it was, I would do it. And I got really into bar, and there was these DVDs called Physique 57, and I loved them and I had them on the road with me. And so when I moved back to New York and, I had done, First Wives Club, and that was supposed to go to Broadway, and then it ended up not going. And so coming off of that show, I was like, okay, this isn't going to happen for me. So I auditioned for this Physique 57, which was born and bred in New York. And it's like ballet bar, but it's fitness. And I started working there and I loved it. And I was teaching classes. I was working out. I was coming up with choreography because you had to like choreograph these classes. And so once I got Jersey Boys on Broadway, then I had to say to them, hey guys, I don't want to leave this job, because I kind of knew that I was probably not going to be on Broadway forever. And I didn't want to give up a job that I knew I would want in the future. So somehow, and this is probably why I was so tired, I continued working at Physique while I worked on Broadway. And I literally, John Paul, I would get up, I would drive to the Upper West Side studio, I would teach a class, I would go to the theater, the August Wilson Theater, and I would lay down under my makeup station, have a nap, get up, put on my makeup, and like go do a show. I would do that all the time. I taught 15 hours a week of classes plus 8 shows a week of Broadway.
How are you still alive?
I don't know. Like even now people are like, we couldn't really talk to you then. I don't know how I did it. I was glad I did it, because when it was all over, I was like, I think this is my transition. Like, this is where I change things up. And I love teaching. I love helping women achieve fitness and wellness goals. I was also in that state of constantly looking at myself in the mirror for 10 years, because you're always in a makeup mirror. And sometimes that isn't good for the soul. And so I wanted to move into an area where I was uplifting and empowering and making women that were aging just feel better about themselves and feel good about that. And like, how do I provide that service? And so that's kind of where it came from. I moved into strength training. I got my certifications. I love lifting weights. And so I transitioned out of bar, which is wonderful and I still use it, but I also like variety, right? I get bored. And most people that work out, they get bored. They don't want to do the same thing over and over. So that was my thing, is like expanding all of my knowledge through dance, through fitness, through weightlifting, through yoga, through Pilates, and like being able to access that through me or through my trainers that I've hired, and not ever feeling bored or like you can't do something, right? So if you come in and you want to try something, you can try it and feel comfortable and confident. And there's somebody to help you feel good about that. And that was it. And then once the pandemic hit, just prior to the pandemic hitting, so I was working at Physique, I was working at a gym, like going in, and I would get up at 4 a.m, take the train into the city, because I live in the Bronx, and I would take the train into the city and to meet my 6:30 a.m. client. So it took me that long to get there on the subway. And then I would do like, you know, 4 clients at the gym. Then I would go teach Physique. Sometimes I would come back home and take that hour and a half trip home, sleep, and then go back downtown and do 3 more classes like down at Wall Street. So like, it was constant and hustle and hustle and hustle. And in my mind, I was like, I should invent, you know, where people can just work out, do this. Like, you'll have a trainer, right? I'm still your trainer, and we're talking like you and I are right now. Yeah. But that way you can just do it at home. You build your home gym You're not walking around picking up equipment, setting things up, waiting for people to get off machines. You don't have to pack your bag to get it and then shower from your session and then go to work and change your clothes or bring your clothes at the end of the day and change, you know, and people are like, oh, that sounds weird. But my partner, Frank, was like, I think it sounds great. You should create that. And so I just started building it slowly. And so I had released it prior to the pandemic, but it wasn't really taking off. It was just what it was. And then pandemic hit and I was ready to go. And so I built from that. And then everybody that, you know, once the world opened up again, they were like, I love this. I don't need to go back to the gym. I've got my own gym. I can just work out in my pajamas. I can, you know, still have my coffee while talking to you, have my baby sitting here and make sure I can watch my baby while I'm still getting my workout in. So it's been awesome. I've been very fortunate, very lucky. I love the people that I work out with. I love my clients. They become friends. I'm so happy right now. I love working out in my little gym space. It's so, yeah, it's great. I can go on vacation and still work. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, they can go on vacation and still work out. So it's great. It's great. And so that's the story of Trumpet.
So what kind of services do you offer then?
We do pretty much anything and everything. We do obviously personal training, like one-on-one sessions virtually. Then I have packages that are just subscriptions. So you can have me build programs for you. So if you don't, if you don't need accountability, you don't need me to see you, we'll do like a call like this, and then we'll talk about your goals. And then I'll build you your own little program. Sometimes it's just two programs. Some people want a whole month of everything done. So I'll build out calendars for them. And it's great because if they're like, I don't really like these deadlifts or this weight is too heavy, I'm still their trainer and adjust things for them. So it's not like a computer, you know, just picking things out for you to do. It's an actual human talking to you and listening to what you need. And so I have like dynamic duos. So if you're like for cost, right? If things are too expensive, there's ways to like work it out. So it fits your financial needs. The dynamic duo is fun. So I have like a couple of clients who they come in and they work out together, but like one's in LA and one's in New York. Okay. And they're on screen together doing the workouts together, or sometimes they're together, right? Like a mother daughter working out together. So that's fun. And that's about what else. Oh, I do nutrition. So if you want, we can build out menus for you. We can talk about habits. And I'm not a nutritionist, but I'm a coach. So I just can coach you into better habits for what you're doing. Like if you're working out, what kind of foods you should be eating, things like that, your macronutrients. What else? And I think that's it. Yeah. Basically just online stuff.
What do you find is the biggest, I'm going to use the word excuse, for not getting into, you know, working out and getting better and fit?
Time.
And how do you propose getting around that sort of thing and fixing that and bringing them
that
back?
You have to, when I make a schedule for myself, I have to schedule me just as important as my meeting with you.
Yeah.
I need to meet with myself. So I've got to put, if I can't work out here, well, where can I have to think of myself as like, I'm having an interview with the CEO of the top company of the best job that I want. What time is that interview? Because I got to show up to that. So I look at that because if you're not working properly, you're not working well for anybody else. And I find with a lot of my like mothers that have kids, if they can figure it out, and I'm like, just bring the baby. We'll lift the baby. We'll move with the baby. You can hold the baby. The baby can lay there. We'll figure it out together. There's no, you know, it's not, you don't need a sitter. You don't need a sitter. We'll figure it out. You're going to feel better even if you move for 30 minutes. So, and they always do, you know, and I was like, that's what it's about. You just have to figure out your schedule for yourself. and put that in as being top priority.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you do, if you're taking care of you, you're having a better day. You feel good. I know for myself, if I miss something, if I miss a workout, it sits with me and I'm kind of shitty all day, you know, like I'm like, oh, I can get it in. And now I can't have that ice cream at the end of the night.
Well, it sounds like it's a very adaptive type of program where, and which you probably learned from theater, you got to roll with it. Right. And yes. If you're not available, then we'll do it here. We'll figure out, or you can't do this. Well, we'll figure out a way, like the baby. We'll do that sort of thing.
It is. And that's probably my specialty as coming from like dancing and choreography, and I can switch on a dime. So if somebody, like you show up and you're like, I don't want to do any of this that you've planned today, I just want to stretch. Can we just stretch? I can figure out a plan on the spot for 45 minutes of stretching. So that's, you know, that's what I think is maybe one of the top things about TrimFit is we're versatile and we can change and we can work with your needs at any moment.
That's fantastic. So all the women listeners, there's no excuse.
I mean, I will say my dad,
yeah,
is probably one of my top clients. he retired and he turned 70 at, I think, 2 years ago. And he's a perfect example of someone that really, it was a struggle for him because he walked for 12 hours a day at his job. He got up at 4 a.m. to get to work for 5, to be home by 3 or whatever it was. And then he was tired. And, you know, so we had a discussion when he retired. I was like, maybe you should just start working out now because now you have some time.
Yeah.
He's lost like 27 pounds. Uh-huh. He's gained a ton of muscle. He feels better. His knees are working for him. Like, it's been a game changer. And that to me is like, okay, so not everybody always has time, but if he could have found a little bit, like even on a weekend,
yeah,
you know, he could have started this health journey a little earlier. And, but he started, so that's good.
That's the important part, right?
Yeah.
It's just beginning. And
yes, it's just beginning. It's just beginning.
Awesome. Tara, that's fantastic. Congratulations on the TrimFit as well. That's, you know,
thank you.
Transitioning into something a little, not different, but yes, but no. It's new, but it's not. It's
yeah.
You took everything you learned in the past. And
you're right. I was thinking that the other day, because you have to be on too. That's the other thing. You can't just show up and be like, you know, boring and tired and grumpy. You have to be, you're performing. You're like, what's going on? How's your body today? You feeling good? Oh, what's up? All right, let's talk about it. You know, so you're kind of not putting on a performance, but you're a bit of a therapist and you've got to uplift and empower the person that you're working with.
That's great.
Super awesome. Important.
So do you have anything in the pipeline? Or do you have anything that you'd like to promote? You know, either be it a new course in TrimFit, or you're going to audition for something, or anything in the pipeline that you want, or you're just enjoying life?
No, I mean, come on by, take a look at the website, take a look at what we have to offer. I am coming up with, it's almost done. It's TrimFit Transformation in 30. So that's going to be available very soon, which will be 30-day fitness program that anybody can do, and it'll have an option to do nutrition as well, and you can just sign up and do it online. That's just a fun little thing that I'm hoping people will, and it also gives you a feel of what it is I do and who I am, and there are little videos that you follow along with, and it should be good. And it's good if you're starting, you know, if something, you're brand new to fitness, it's a good way to like just dip your toe into things, because all the workouts are only about 20 minutes long, and you're going to work at your own pace. You could ask me questions anytime because it's all through my app. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's coming up. That should be within, where are we, in September? So by October 1st, that'll be coming up. And then also my Therapy Dough I don't know if you know my therapy, Joe. Which has been a game changer for me. And this is like, you know, just like a stress ball, but it's stress dough and it's got, it's all natural. It's aromatherapy, essential oils in it. And it's for me, it started because I was having panic attacks and I needed something to help me settle down and breathe a little bit. And so I just invented or made this dough and I've started selling it at domorestress.com. So you can check that out too. All different flavors and scents. I think that's about it. Everything else is, yeah, life is pretty good.
Well,
and you're good. You're good. Everything's good over there.
Everything is busy and crazy, but I can't complain.
Look great, John Paul. You look so good.
Coming from a fitness person, thank you.
Yeah.
Of course, you can only see me from the shoulders up. So we'll just leave it at that.
I know I've got sweats on. So I was like, are we going to be on camera? But we're not, right? We're going
to
be
just you and I can see each other. The listeners are only audio. They'll have to imagine.
Okay. What they'll have to imagine. Okay.
But give them how to contact you. Your website, your socials. How do they get to know more about you?
You can head over. You can do tremfit.com, tremfit.com, as in Kara Tremel. Tremfit by Kara Tremel is my Insta handle. Or you can go to Kara Tremel on Facebook or Instagram. And also domorestress.com, as in no more stress, right? Domorestress. And also at domorestress on Instagram. So all of those places you can click, you can look, you can check it out. You can say hi, send me a little email. Let me know if you have questions. And that's it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, again, like I said, it congratulations on the shows and the company and everything you've done, you know, since I last saw you. So we'll do this again in another 30 years. But
wait, before then.
Well, before we go, I sometimes ask my guests three questions. No, there's no right or wrong answers, but we get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
You know, our audience is judgy, so they might judge you on what you say, but no, that's their problem, not yours. All right. So question number one, what creator or team within musical theater has had a great influence on you? It could be a composer, lyricist, director, producer, actor, or even stage manager. It could be somebody famous or not famous, like a teacher. Is there somebody in the you know, musical theater world that's, you know, had a huge influence on you?
Oh, this is a tough one because there's quite a
yeah, there's few. Always a bunch, right?
Oh man. And it can be
anybody. I've had people say their grade 9 drama teacher, or as you know, I've had people say Sondheim. Lots of people say that, but it could be anything. It's just sometimes.
You know, I'm going to say, I mean, there is a million. There's David Connolly, there's Danny Austin, there's Sergio, there's Dez, all the people from Jersey Boys. But when I really sit down and think about it, it's going to be Dora Sitter. And she was my very first dance teacher. And, you know, I literally danced from 2.5 to, I think I moved away when I was 16. And she was probably the biggest influence, if not, and even the two teachers from Moose Jaw, Lyle Johnson and Allison Litt, my choir teacher and my drama teacher. And those, like, that's going back to when I was a kid. Yeah. And those were the people that believed in me, besides my parents and my grandparents and all my family. Those teachers were the ones that really influenced and the belief, right? Just having someone believe that you can do it and you're going to be successful and that they're going to help build you up. Even if that doesn't happen, they're not going to burst your bubble. And, you know, I think as we get older and go on in the business, you meet people and like, your bubble gets burst a lot. And so it's that memory of having those teachers in my youth, mm-hmm. that really got me to move on, like to go to Sheridan, to continue the dream, to continue my passion for it. Those are the ones. But Mrs. Sitter, Miss Litt, and Mr. Johnson.
great answers. Because you know, I've asked this question many times, and you know, sometimes you get Sondheim from the composers and things like that, and that's great. But I love when it's the unsung heroes, the people no one knows about, but have influenced so many people, probably. So
yes, and that's where it starts. Like if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have the knowledge. I wouldn't have known how to go on any further than this, you know, or than where I was. So I just, yeah.
Very cool. Correct answer. 1 point. There we go. So good start. So question number two, if you were to bring anything from Moose Jaw to New York, what would be, it could be a restaurant, a way of life, whatever. What do they do in Moose Jaw better than in New York City?
I would bring Buffalo Pound Lake, and it is about 25 minutes from Moose Jaw. And it used to seem like 2 hours to get there, but every summer my grandparents would pick me up and we would go out to our cabin, and I would basically live out there in the summertime. And it was the best place to just grow up, to be a kid, to grow up, to drive around on John Deere tractor, to go swimming, to learn to water ski, you know, all of that, bring my friends out, put on performances. Like it was a great place. And I miss it and I loved it.
It's such a different world, because I grew up in the country just north of Toronto. So it's not the same. You know, no. Toronto is so much smaller than New York City, but it's still a city. And I think city people don't quite understand, because I was talking to my lady friend about camping, and she said you lit up like a 6-year-old. But it's the same type of thing. It's the outdoors, it's nature, it's just,
yeah, it's space. Yes. Like being in New York, when I go to Canada, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much. Look at that person's house, it's so far away. Your next door neighbor, right here, yeah. You're like literally like step outside, like, oh, hi, like they're on your doorstep. So
yeah,
you appreciate this space. And then I know I would miss the city as well. So I like having the two of them. Yeah.
Another correct answer. You know what? Because it's about the country, 2 points. 2 points for that question.
Thank you.
Nice. All right. Question number three. Food in the theater or cell phones in the theater? Which is worse?
Food.
Food. Have you had an experience where you had to deal with food when you were on stage or even in an audience or anything?
Yeah, like that? And we even had in our Jersey Boys announcement beforehand, where it's like, turn off your cell phones.
Yeah.
And please feel free to pull out any lozenge or candy and unwrap it now. So they put that in the, it's something like that.
Yeah.
Richard Hester said is so funny, but I mean that it's like the, or like the munching of something. A cell phone, you can like, you know, it's very, nowadays, let's hope that people really can turn that off and not forget.
Yeah.
But I feel like you hear it, you're like, oh, cell phone, boom, cook it. But people with food and like eating and mouth open and popcorn and a chip and an M&M and like wrappers and opening, you know, that goes on for a while. That can take over a scene.
I'm not a fan of either. I would accept both are terrible. And people with food are just disgusting because they just throw it on the floor.
The ushers have to go pick that up and clean out the whole thing. And I would say food, but both are terrible.
Nice. Another point. Congratulations. 4 points out of three. Great score. There are no prizes, but you can brag to everybody.
Okay.
whatever you want to do. Kara, it's been awesome to catch up with you and find out, you know, what you've been doing. And like I said, maybe we shouldn't wait 30 years before, you know, people get back together and see each other and just
catch up. Was so lovely. I'm so grateful that you reached out, and I am so proud of what you're doing. And I'm just, yeah, this was really nice. A great way to spend an hour of my Friday. I'm really, that was a joyful experience. So thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. So we were just talking with Kara Tremel, the actor, singer, dancer, but also the owner of TremFit. You can go to her website to learn more about it. We're going to add it to our page of companies to check out who support and are important to musical theater people. So go to our website. I'll be adding that. Tune in next week as we'll be talking with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I'm your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.